Hello, you're listening to The Science of Successful Job Hunting with me, Mildred Talabi, author, speaker, and blogger committed to inspiring and changing lives in business and careers. This podcast series is all about sharing tips and techniques with you that will take the guesswork out of your job hunting. Why? Because successful job hunting is not about luck, chance, or hope. Successful job hunting is a science. Welcome to today's episode. Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Science of Successful Job Hunting. When searching for a new job, many of us think of starting afresh outside of our present organization. But have you considered that your next job can come from your current role? Now, my guest on today's show did exactly this. Malachi Talabi is an award-winning public speaker, entrepreneur, and author. But he also has a day job in a primary school where he has recently experienced the latest of several promotions over the last 6 years in a row. Now, if you're wondering why Malachi and I have the same surname, there's a perfectly good reason for this. And that's because he's my husband and he has been for the past 8.5 years. So you can say I've had a front row seat to watch his remarkable career progression over the years. Now, in today's show, Malachi will be telling us more about his exciting career journey, as well as sharing tips on how you too can find your next job in your current role. Now, I've been looking forward to this interview for a while. So, Malachi, it's finally great to have you here with us on The Science of Successful Job Hunting.
Yes, hello, and thank you for having me on the show. I'm really excited for anyone who wants to push their career forward, take the next step, elevate themselves, receive personal empowerment. I'm just here for anyone who's listening. I'm telling you, like, if you stay tuned, you're going to get some powerful principles, and I'm about practical things, so trust me, stay tuned to the very end. I'm going to be sharing some useful stuff for you, and I'm telling you, it's going to help you accelerate your career, it's going to help you elevate your career, and it's actually going to help you live the life of your dreams careers-wise. So I'm happy to be on here to pour out everything I have for you.
Wow, that's a huge promise. Gosh, I'm looking forward to this interview. Now, Malachi, obviously I know all there is to know about you, but for the sake of our lovely listener, can you take us back to the beginning of your career journey to how you ended up doing what you're doing today in terms of both the day job and the entrepreneurial side? I mean, talk us through what it is that you do, and then take us back to the beginning of both.
So I do a lot of things. I believe that I'm the tree and I've got many branches. That's the kind of metaphor I use for work, business, and everything I do. So one of my branches is public speaking, another branch is entrepreneurship, another branch is being an author. I have a branch, my work branch, which is me working as a primary school sports coordinator in Peter Hills Primary School. That's actually a recent promotion I had. I started working with young people about, let's say, 10 years ago. I was fresh out of university and I wanted to become a semi-professional footballer, and I actually still do. And I found out that working with kids was a good way to sort of finish work early so I could go and train and play football. So I only went into that job for convenience, and even though I went in there for convenience, I actually found a career working for kids. So one of the first things I would say is that you can get your career just literally from anywhere. Like, I was searching for convenience, I found a career, and that's how I fell into it. I fell into a job and fell in love with the job. So that's how I got into working with kids. I was just, wanting to finish at 3:30. That's it. I want to be out going to the gym or training in the park, and I love the school holidays, and working in the school would give me a lot of time to, one, be physical, run around and things like that. But also, I also found that, I would be able to finish early enough to do everything that I needed to do. And the power of that was that I was able to establish businesses, write books, part-time. So I would work part-time. Well, sorry, it was full-time hours, but school finishes at 3:30. So I'd say I'd work part-time, but also in my other hours, I would work on my football and work on other projects. And that's sort of how I got into working with kids.
Oh, wow. Excellent. And you're pretty good at working with young people of that age group. So primary school, that's up to age 11. A lot of people find this challenging. I mean, what's your secret? Do you believe you're good with kids, and what's the secret?
Well, I believe, like, obviously there's two sides to every coin. There's four sides to a square, and I don't believe in being one dimensional. So there's different ways you can do it. A lot of people have a strict disciplinarian approach to working with children, and it works. Not always, but it works. I have a relational sort of approach where, because I am sort of current, young, handsome.
Young at heart.
Yeah. Because I keep myself fresh, and young is not an age. Young is actually the things that you surround yourself with, the things that you engage in. And because I engage in a lot of things that the children like, so for example, I like music, I like football, I like watching movies, and all of these things help me relate to kids. So I can tell them the Manchester United score, and I can name all the Manchester United team. So on Monday, instead of "do your maths," what they usually get, it's like, "oh, did you see Rooney's goal? Oh, yeah, I saw Rooney's goal. Oh, yeah, top corner, innit?" You know, that's how we relate. And from the relation, from relating, we build a relationship, and that helps them, me to connect with them. And relationship builds respect. So through the basis of having a good relationship with kids, I actually, you know, help them to make progress. And in fact, if I'm going to be honest, I do the fun stuff in school, like philosophy. I do PE, school trips. I do the fun stuff. So yes, they're doing maths, English, literacy, science during the day. And then that in the afternoon, they come to Mr. Talabi and I'm doing all the fun stuff. So that's where they get to release their energy. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about you working in primary school. I mean, most people know that it is pretty much a female-dominated environment. And here you are, a man, thriving in a primary school. Was that ever a challenge for you? You know, was that something that you noticed particularly, or is it something that's just, oh, well, that's just just the way it is, really? Is that, how do you fit in as a man working in a primary school?
Well, there's two dynamics. I'm not just a man working in primary school. I'm actually a black man working in a primary school. And it's great because, one, being a man working in a primary school, there's a few. So they're needed. We're in high demand. Being a black man working in a primary school, there's even fewer. So we're in high demand. So actually, where there's things like lifting and carrying things that sometimes women will deem as male jobs, you know, that's an opportunity for a little bit of banter in the staff room when they're like, "oh, come on, you're a man, lift that, Malachi," or "open the door for me." But, you know, so there's a funny side to it. But also, it's almost like a unique selling point. You know, I've had previous people who've managed me and said that, you know, "we need you here." So sometimes the thing that would seem to be a disadvantage is actually an advantage, you know. The fact that I'm a man and the fact that I'm black is an advantage because you don't see many young black men or black men in primary schools. And that's a good thing for my school. It's a good thing for the area that I work in. And it's a good thing for me. So I bring a different perspective. I bring a male perspective to teaching and I bring a black perspective. So things like, you know, Black History Month or things like cultural days. Things like those are the elements that I can bring a unique selling point. So if anyone's listening out there, there's something unique about you that you can bring to your workplace. There is something. Just by virtue, yes, there may be many women in your workplace or a lot of men. There might be a lot of black men in your workplace. But you specifically, you have a gift, you have a talent. You have something unique that you can contribute and bring to your workplace. All you have to do is actually recognize it. So a lot of people would call it a disadvantage to me that I'm a man and I'm a black man, and you might feel secluded and how do you feel and do you feel... No, I use my quote-unquote disadvantage to an advantage, and I use it as a unique selling point.
Awesome. I love that. That's a really good tip to identify your unique selling point, and B, to whatever you might think is a disadvantage, to look at it in a different light to see how it could work for your current environment. Awesome. Okay, so, well, as you know, this episode is all about how to find your next job in your current role. Now, you've recently been promoted this year to PE coordinator, where you manage all the PE in your primary school. Now, what was the first promotion you had at work? Because I know you entered into this particular role as a teaching assistant. So what was the first promotion from there, and how did your journey progress to being managing the whole PE in the whole school today?
So look, it's a long story, so I'm just going to get straight to the meat of it. This is how it works. I went to a primary school for convenience to work as a primary school teaching assistant. But one thing I've always sort of tried to commit to is being myself and giving myself. So I like football. So traditionally, most of the teachers at a playtime would just stand there with a whistle in their hand. Instead of standing there with a whistle in my hand, I started organising league matches and tournaments for the children at playtime. Being myself and giving myself. So literally, after doing this teaching assistant job, teachers would say, oh, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Like, you're really good at football. Do you want to do an after-school club and a lunchtime club? So during lunchtime and after school, I would do a football, lunchtime club, and after-school club. Being myself, giving myself. You know, obviously, there's a few people like, oh, he's a bit over the top, he's a bit energetic. But, oh, listen, I was meeting a gap, filling a need. The children love football, no one in the school did it. And I love football, and I was being myself and giving myself. So what began to happen was, in each position I had, I came in as a TA. But because I was being myself and giving myself, what they would do is they would create roles for me. They would say, oh, would you like to do this? And would you like to take a school on a trip? Or it's almost like I branded myself as a sports person, even though I wasn't employed as a sports person. Anything football related, people, staff members would bring newspapers to me and say, oh, you like this, or they bring magazines to me. Or parents would just come up to me and say, oh, do you know any football clubs? All because all I was doing is being myself, giving myself, and I was sort of obsessed with football. I wasn't doing it for any sort of benefit or trying to get anything out of it, but I started to have the headmistress ask me to do certain things in the school based on the talents that she saw me displaying. So that's how sort of my role changed from sort of a teaching assistant to sort of a PE assistant. I wasn't a sports coordinator at this time, but I was just a PE assistant. Then we had, like, I had a situation where I moved schools just because I wanted a bit of a pay rise. So I moved schools, and actually I moved from my first school to become a sports coach, and I actually got some qualifications in sports, and it was enjoyable. I learned so much about sports and working with young people again in the same area. Then we transitioned again and went back to a primary school, but this role was as a teaching assistant once more. And in this role, the same thing happened. I saw this pattern, being myself, giving myself. They said, oh gosh, you're the only one in the school out of all the teachers and all the teaching assistants who likes PE. Could you do my PE session? And I filled in a gap for one teacher. And then the next week, another teacher said, could you do my PE session? And I had qualified teachers asking me, a lowly TA, to do their PE sessions. I found myself planning and delivering PE. And I'm thinking, you guys are qualified. But I realized that sometimes passion is the pathway to a promotion. And because of my passion, teachers would come to me, ask me to do their lessons. And then what would happen is, one of the headmistresses, she came to me and she said, look, I've seen your work ethic. I've seen your passion. I want you to do a course called HLTA. And this HLTA course was to become a higher level teaching assistant, which means I would be the equivalent of a supply teacher. When the teachers weren't in, I could deliver PE session, deliver teaching sessions. I did the HLTA sessions and I passed the course. And then all of a sudden, like, they stopped using supply teachers in my school, and I became the first point of call. Whenever a teacher was sick, Malachi, can you go and cover that lesson? And can you do the PE as well? So instead of being a teaching assistant, even though that was my job description, I was literally, some days I was in from 9 to 4 doing English literacy and maths and then doing PE. So I was a teacher. There were some weeks I had taught a class for the whole week. I was a year 6 teacher. All because I went in there, was being myself and giving myself.
And were you tempted at any point to actually train to become a teacher?
Oh yes, I was trained to become a teacher, definitely. Again, when people see that you've got passion, and they see that you have a good work ethic, they people come to you and say, would you like to do this and would you like to do that? And one of the opportunities was for me to be a actual class teacher. Now, this wasn't my passion, but it was something that people had recommended to me. And I actually went out to train to become a teacher. And I've got a persistent character and attitude. And I went for my interview to become a teacher. And the first year I failed. I didn't receive an interview. You know, they said that, you know, you have a lot of passion, but you're not experienced enough, which was disappointing. So, and this is what's going to happen on your journey. Sometimes you're going to go for things and you're going to get disappointed. But I said to myself, well, I haven't got enough experience, so let me get some more experience. And I spent a year out getting more experience. Sometimes when you get rejected, what happens is, in the rejection, there's an antidote, there's a solution. So I always recommend that if you get a rejection, ask for feedback. You see it in voice competitions where people go for this live audition, they sing their song, and then the judges say, oh, you sang a bit too fast, or you chose the wrong song. And they come back next year, and then the judges pick them. Well, it's the same with me in my sort of teaching career, where I failed the first interview. They gave me some feedback. I employed the feedback, got some experience. I reapplied the next year, and I was accepted by the same teacher. She said, you're very, very, very tenacious. Well, I said, well, yeah, I am, but all I did was take your feedback and improve myself, and I was accepted on a teacher training course. So,
but it turned out that, you know, so eventually you didn't go for the teaching in the end, because, well, it didn't work out in the end. But also, I know that you, particularly in hindsight, knew that that wasn't actually the path that you wanted to spend your life pursuing. Yeah. Is that the case?
Yeah, with the teaching post, a lot of things have happened in it. With the teaching. So sometimes you're led along a path, and what happens is you think it's for you, but actually it's not. And so many things have happened in regards to that teaching opportunity that I had. But I realized that actually my passion is sports. My passion is physical education. My passion is also public speaking. And I feel to find the right balance, becoming a sports coordinator and keeping my hours... keeping my hours, I'm laughing because really the truth is I don't like the marking that comes with teaching, but keeping my hours around the 3:30, 4:30 mark is good enough for me. And so everything sort of worked out where I'm now a sports coordinator.
Yeah, then, and you manage the PE in the whole school, which is what you've always wanted to do, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think I have to inject here, because you've dropped in a few quotes, you know, that you're quite known for your, what you call Talabisms, you know, and you've even got a book out on it called The Book of Talabisms. So this is quotes that seem to just roll off your tongues about different things. There's two that particularly stood out. So feel free to tweet this. If you're on Twitter, Malachi, you're on Twitter, right? You're at Malachi Talabi and also at Talabisms. So there's be yourself and give yourself, a strategy that you recommend employing. And then there's passion is a pathway to a promotion. So I love these. I'll put some of these Talabisms down in the show notes. So if you want to tweet them, you can go ahead and tweet Malachi and say, yeah, I really enjoy these Talabisms that you're sharing in this interview. So, okay, awesome. Now, in your particular job now, the role that you're in this particular school, you've been there for about 6 years. And now 6 years is a long time these days to be in the same job at the same time. So did you at any point consider moving on from the organization to find better opportunities elsewhere? I mean, if not, why not? And in hindsight, are you glad that you stayed? Because now this opportunity has happened in terms of you becoming the sports person for the whole school.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've been in the same workplace for 6 years, but ironically, I've tried to leave every year. And every year I try to leave, I get a promotion or a pay rise. It's crazy. I will go into the headmistress's office, miss, I'm leaving. Why was I going to leave? I was going to leave because I wanted more money, or because I wanted to work closer to home, or I just wanted a new challenge. And each time, whether it's just a spine point, whether it's changing my job title or giving me an extra hours, or giving me an after school club, whatever it is, the headmistress would find a way to make me stay. And I think that that's because they saw me more than a number. They saw me as a component to the system, a great and useful component. And I don't think that's got anything to do with me per se as a person and a character. I think that's got more to do with just the principles that I employed. Some of them I employed consciously, but most of them I employed unconsciously. But it's not, oh, Malachi is just a great guy and we just want to keep him around. They are sort of principles to a promotion and a principles to a pay rise, that if anyone employs, they will get a promotion or a pay rise. you know, and that's what sort of happened to me. So each year I've tried to leave, there was a promotion. And along the way, I haven't had the same manager for the last 6 years. I've had about four different headmistresses who I've worked under. And we've recently had a new one. And each time a headmistress comes, I get a promotion or a pay rise. And they have the same response. Oh, Malachi, you're so talented. We need to do more with you. And this is the thing. On my HLTA course, a lot of people were offered the same opportunity, but they said, oh, I can't be bothered. Or, you know, they didn't take the opportunity. But each year, I promised myself that I'm going to train. I'm going to train and train and train. Every CPD opportunity would enlarge my CV and make me more employable. So I've taken opportunities. And I am the only HLTA in my school at the moment. So who are they going to go to? The only HLTA. So it's like, if other people had the HLTA course, then they would have the same opportunities. So it's not just a coincidence that they're using me. The reason why is because I've accepted that, you know, to gain and to go forward, you've got to train. So that's one of the things that has happened to me. One of the attributes is, you know, training, always growing. Each year, become bigger, become better. And each time you're training, you're actually niching yourself. You're making yourself unique. You're making yourself more employable. So, yeah, each time I've been there for 6 years, it's not been intentional. I've just been able to employ some principles that I've worked with everyone who's managed me. And everyone has the same sort of response to me. And it's not because of me. It's because of the principles.
I want to get into some of these principles that you talk about in just a moment, but I actually think you're being very modest, you know, in terms of, I do believe there are things that can be replicated, but organizations tend to keep people on when they add value to a workplace. So I think there are obviously things that you've invested in and things that you've done and do that add value to who you are as a person and what you can contribute to an organization. So I know that you do a lot of your side ventures. As we mentioned, you write your books, public speaking, etc. So, and you're also very much into personal development. Can you tell us about some of the things that you do outside of your 9-to-5 that has contributed to you, I guess, being the person that you are today that helps you get promoted?
So, I mean, like what you're saying is, there's an overlap here. So what I'm saying is, it's not about me. I'm not being modest. I'm just saying it's the principles. And one of the principles is the laws of growth. So anyone can grow. Anyone can choose to grow. Anyone can choose to invest in themselves. Anyone can sit in front of the TV on a Saturday and binge watch. And then while you're binge watching, someone else is going to a Tony Robbins seminar, someone else is reading a book, someone else is going on a public speaking training course. So one of the principles is to grow, is to continuously invest in yourself. If you want to be your best, then you've got to invest. That's it. So one of the things I do is I always try to have a personal sort of CPD, continued professional development plan each year. Whether that means attending a course, reading 10 books in my field, going to a seminar, or just surrounding myself with people who are on the way up. And what I've found is, if you continuously invest in yourself, you are going to get a promotion. You are going to be the person that they want to promote, because you're going to learn a set of skills that is unique. You're going to learn a set of skills that are going to enhance you and allow you to perform better. When you're reading books, you're downloading someone's consciousness, and it's so powerful to have tools. You know, if you're in a leadership position and you're reading leadership books and you're going to leadership seminars, then you're going to lead more effectively. And I think that just personal development, not thinking about just applying for promotion, but developing yourself to have the capacity to lead and to direct and to manage, is one of the ways that you can get a promotion. So definitely, I think, yeah, you're right in saying that, you know, I have done some things, but is kind of a principle of personal growth. Now, what I do outside of school, I do public speaking. So I've been involved in an organization called Toastmasters. I am a UK and Ireland public speaking champion for 2011. I've won humorous speech competitions, written books. I've got a website, www.toastmastertolabi.com. I train speakers. And all of these are part of my personal growth. So I know about marketing and entrepreneurship. And one of the unique things that I do is I bring that into my work. So if I'm sending an email, I'm not just going to send a plain email. Like when I'm sending it to my department, I'm sending it on MailChimp. It's going to be designed. I send videos to my, video messages to my colleagues. You know, I bring humor into my workplace. Yeah, I bring my entrepreneurial skills to the workplace. And, I've organized events where I brought a celebrity singer down. I do all of these things. I do what I do in my business, I do in my workplace. Because I've told you, the principle is to be you and to give you. I believe it's like an integrity thing. The stuff I'm doing in my business that are so powerful and so effective that I bring into my workplace. So, for example, with my emails, I don't just write emails and say, Ari, after school clubs. I write emails. I've learned about email marketing. And I know that there's certain email titles that will make the readers open the emails. And I use those principles in the emails I send to my colleagues. So I was sending an email about observations, I think yesterday. And instead of writing RE observations, which they're probably not going to open, I wrote the email title, subject title was A Moment of Transparency. And yeah, there's one I did to my headmistress. She wanted me to do something for her. And I needed a response for this email. And I wrote, I'm leaving. And trust me, she wrote back straight away. This is what I'm saying. I bring that into my workplace. I bring humor into my workplace. She asked me to write a biography for the website. So I said, okay, miss, here's my biography. I said, I'm really enthusiastic about sports. I like to sing. I like to dance. I'm handsome. I've almost got a six pack. And I went on. And, you know, the next morning she saw me. She was laughing. She said, Malachi, I'm going to tell the whole staff what you wrote in your bio. I thought, what? No, miss, no. But it brings humor. It breeds relationship. But this is how I am outside of work. I like humor. So I bring it inside of work. So one of the keys is to build yourself, be yourself, and then bring yourself. So here's a pattern. You build yourself in personal development, courses, reading books, creating your library, becoming bigger. You be yourself wherever you are. Wherever you are, you be yourself. And then you bring yourself. So anything you're doing in your personal business, you want to bring it into your professional business, obviously within reason. If you have something that's really working for you in your entrepreneurship or on the side, if you've got a cake baking business, whatever skills you have, you can bring it into the school. My mom is a Nigerian chef. Guess who I want to cook for the sports day? Guess who I want to cook for Black History Month? You know, I know a singer called Aaron Hill. He's from The Voice, but he's my Facebook friend. Guess who I got to come down to a school assembly and to sing a few songs? I build myself, I be myself, and I bring myself. And those are the things that you can do to really attract a promotion.
I love that. It's great because it's practical and it's something that really can be done. So if I'm listening to this on the other side and I'm thinking, okay, so maybe the my solution isn't to go looking for a new role outside. It's to look inside my role, inside my current workplace for a new opportunity. What's one of the first things you would recommend that I do?
Okay, so it's very simple. There's so many things. I didn't tell you how I got a promotion. I got a promotion because I sat down and I wrote a vision plan and a business plan. And this vision plan and this business plan was something that I was going to propose to the headmistress and say, look, this is my vision. This is my 3-year vision for myself and for this workplace and for the PE department. I did research and I built a vision. So the first thing I'd say is if you want to get a promotion, the first thing you need to do is have a vision where there is a vacancy. Have a vision where there is a vacancy. So I knew that, you know, the PE department was kind of dead. It was like a wilderness. So there was a vacancy there. The school really needed someone to take PE to the next level. So what I did was I looked at the vacancy and I created a vision. Here's what I want the PE department to look like. Now, if you have a vision where there's no vacancy, then you're going to be frustrated. But if there's a vacancy and you have no vision, then you'll equally be frustrated. Because you're going to go for the vacancy, but you have no vision, and you'll get the job maybe by luck, and you won't be able to fulfill the job because you have no vision. But if you have a vision and there's no vacancy, then the only opportunity you can have there is if you become so big that you create a vacancy. So the key is to have a vision where there is a vacancy. And what I did was with my headmistress, I literally wrote out a vision. I gave it to the headmistress. She was about to leave. She said, okay, show this vision to the new headmistress and let's see what she says. I stepped into the office. I showed the headmistress the vision of what PE would look like. I told them, this is my skill. I told her, this is my school skill set. And this was on a, you know, when I do a performance review. She just wanted to get to know the staff. And I showed her the vision. And she said, you know what? Yes. And you know, I wasn't even afraid. On the vision, I showed her a predicted pay scale.
Come on.
I said, listen, and for this vision, I want a certain amount of money. Now, she didn't meet me where I wanted to go, but I did get a significant, significant pay rise. And here's the powerful thing about that. If you're bringing a vision where there's a vacancy, you're taking a problem away from an organization. Not only that, for you to sit down and write a vision shows that you care about the workplace, shows that your mind is on the workplace, and it actually shows the type of character that you are. You've taken time out to think about where you want the organization to go. Now, managers love that. They love people who are thinking about how to make the organization more profitable. So the powerful thing here is to have a vision where there is a vacancy. And when you show people that vision, it says so much about you. And when you show them your training, because on my vision, I showed them how much training I've had, how much training I want to get, how much training I need, but also the things that I can do and the changes I can make immediately. So I'm telling you, she leaped at the idea.
Fantastic. Wow. I love that. So creating a vision plan for a vacancy.
Yeah,
where there's a vision.
Have a vision. Mm-hmm. Have a vision where there's a vacancy.
That's tweetable. That's another to
love. So yeah, you need to look at your workplace. You look at your workplace. There was a guy called Craig Bellamy. He was a new footballer. He was a footballer in a team called Manchester City. Manchester City had brought all of these new players in, and Craig Bellamy ended up on the bench. He knew he'd never play striker again. So he was interviewed and they said, you've lost your position as a striker. Now you're a winger. How did you do it? He said, look, I looked along the team and I looked at the weakest department in the team, and it was right wing. I watched 100 videos on right wing, and in training, I played right wing, and I told the manager that's where I wanted to play. He said, I targeted the weakest area. He found a vision where there was a vacancy. There are weak areas in your workplace. There's areas that could be improved in your workplace. And all you need to do is target those areas and build a vision around those areas. And I'm telling you, the doors will fly open.
Fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. Gosh, there's so much more that we can get into, but I am aware that time is running out. But I think what I want to know is you do all these things outside of work as well. So how do you balance the time that you take to invest in yourself outside of your workplace with your 9-to-5, so to speak? How do you do that? How do you make it work?
Well, it's all about your lifestyle. At the end of the day, some people are not going to be able to do it the way that I do it. I finish early enough to be able to do that. But there's no excuse for anyone, because I guess if you finish later and you want to really get a promotion, sometimes those hours watching TV, you could use reading books, reading blogs, subscribing to people's emails, and actually getting some personal development coaching. People like Tony Robbins, people like John Maxwell, people like Michael Hyatt, you know, listening to podcasts about personal development. So people who can challenge you to become more and become better than you already are. But I'm really stuck on this promotion point where I got a few more principles that I really want to share with people.
And of course, yes,
yeah, definitely.
Ahead.
So I would like to say that one of the reasons why I got the promotion was because I showed my headmistress where the school could benefit by allowing them to see that I could show them that they could pay me less sorry, they could pay me less but get more out of me. So for example, there was a company.
Pay you less? Does anyone want to be paid less?
sorry. Well, it's like, I want to say it properly. It cost them less to pay me more. I showed them how it could cost them less to pay me more. So for example, there was an organization who was doing the PE in the school. They were doing all the PE. They were sort of running the sessions, taking the kids out on some trips. They were doing the PE. But in my vision, I showed the school how actually you can use all the money that you're paying these coaches on me and on the PE department. Because you're paying these coaches, but you have someone internally who can do the same job. So I showed them how it would cost them less to pay me more. And if you want to get a promotion, show your organization how it can cost them less to pay you more. So I save the school, let's say, 30 grand or 10 grand a year. I said, look, I'm saving you 10 grand a year. How about you give me 5 grand of that? Let's say that that's the situation. So it costs them less to pay me more. And I'm doing a good job. In fact, I'm doing a better job than the people who are in there. So one of the principles of promotion is don't just run in for a promotion and say, look, I want a promotion. I want a pay rise. I'm going to do this and it's going to cost you more, or it's going to cost you the equivalent. Show them how it'll cost them less to pay you more. How can you save your workplace money but also allow them to give you more money? And in this situation, it costs them less to pay me more. And that's another principle to promotion.
Because it's important, isn't it, that you're bringing something to the table. And it's not just, oh, I should be promoted because I've been working here for 10 years. And, you know, so you actually have to think about it strategically. Come up with an offering, a vacancy, as you say.
Have a vision where there's a vacancy. Show them where it costs them less to pay you more.
Absolutely.
But also, people think promotion is down to duration. But promotion is not down to duration at all. Like, there's been people who've been in a workplace for like 60 years. They've never got a promotion and they never will. Well, maybe not 60 years, but 30 years, 40, 20 years, 10 years. And they never will, because you don't get promotion because of your duration. Like at the end of the day, promotion is not attributed to duration. I like to say, like, it's not about activity, it's about impact. So it's all about impact. At the end of the day, this is one of the things that a lot of people around me don't get. They're like, why are you always getting promotions? Why are they always, oh, everyone just loves you? No, there's a lot of people who work longer hours than me. There's a lot of people in the workplace who feel like they physically do more, like photocopying this and that. They're up and down. But I realized early in my career, which has saved me, is that I don't do many things, but I do the little things that matter. It's an 80-20 principle. I don't do many things. I do the little things that matter, or little actions that make a major impact. So organizing a sports day is a little action with a major impact. Organizing and doing assemblies is a little action with a major impact. Organizing sports trips is a little action with a major impact. Sports trips, sports days, assemblies, they do so much for the school. Getting the press in does so much for the school. And it seems very little, but it has a big impact. Rather than me like slogging up, doing all of this marking and assessment, and you think you're doing a lot, but you're just getting tired. I notice that schools need to attract people. School needs to raise the reputation in the local area. And if I can tap into focusing my energy on those things, I'm doing these little actions that have major impacts. So yeah, your promotion is not about, you know, your duration. It's not about activity. It's actually about impact. And if you're one of the people who make a major impact, then you're going to be in line for that promotion.
Wow. That's just wow. It looks like I'm going to have to get you back here for a part two, because I can feel that you've got so much else to share. But that is just amazing. So many principles to digest. So many things to tweet out there as well. So, wow. Absolute wow. But okay. So this is really for anybody who is looking for that next job. You know, it's really about thinking about all these things, thinking about how can I maximize the current role that I'm in at the moment? Because it's so much easier to get a job within where you're already working than it is to get a job outside. Isn't that right, Malachi?
Definitely. It is definitely easier to be promoted from within. Yeah, I like to say that you can either apply for a promotion or attract a promotion by your greatness.
Ooh.
You know, I'm not even going
to dive
into
that. No, don't go there. I'm going to have to kick you off my show now.
But what I would say is that, like, you formed relationships from within your workplace. People know you. Sometimes that can work against you, but sometimes it can work for you. If you've been branded in a bad way, you can always change. You can literally change your image. That's not a problem. But working from within, like, you've got the bus route, you've got the school run, you know the local area, you know the shops. It's comfortable for you, but also you've built the relationship. So it's really beneficial if you get promoted from within. You have more credibility. You don't have to prove yourself as much to anyone. And hopefully you formed good relationships so that you can start to lead a team. Now, there are things about transitioning from a promotion, from being someone who hadn't had that much authority to being someone who actually now you've got to tell people who you're on the sort of quote-unquote same level as, tell them things to do. And that's something that I'm starting to deal with, and I've got a lot of keys for that. However, what we'll do, we can talk about that in part two. As you know, like, again, I'm a public speaker. I could go on for hours.
Oh, good, yeah.
And hours. But I'm just out there to say, if we're going to sum this up, build yourself, be yourself, bring yourself. Have a vision where there is a vacancy. Show them how it costs them less to pay you more. And just remember, it's not about activity. It's about impact.
Woof. Fantastic. Brilliant, Malachi. Thank you so much for sharing those tips with us and for coming on the show. I mean, how can people find out more about you? I mean, if anyone wants to, do you do speaking engagements? Can they book you?
If you've listened to this, book me. I can talk about the principles of promotion. I'm a public speaker. I host weddings. I do after dinner speeches. You can go to ToastmasterTalabi.com. I've got books out there called 7 Minutes to Win It. You can create great presentations with it. And I've got something I'm working on called Telling Stories That Rock, how you can be a phenomenal storyteller. I've also got a program me and Mildred are going to do called No More Free Advice, how to turn your advice into a profitable stream of income. There's lots out there, but if you really want to connect, send me an email at hello@malachitalabi.com, or just go over to my website toastmastertalabi.com and see if there's any resources there that will help you, especially if you're a public speaker. That will definitely help you. I'm also on YouTube and I've got a few training videos, but I'm really here for you to really jump into that promotion and go to the level, go to the next level. You know, subscribe to someone's mailing list, Michael Hyatt, Tony Robbins, go out there. You know, Wayne Malcolm, he's one of my coaches. He's got an organization called the ICANN Academy. I would highly recommend you go there and get all of the types of training you'll need to get to the next level. And if there's one thing that you can do, any CPD opportunities you have in your workplace, start applying for them. Get trained, because I'm telling you, you can buff up your CV with them, and when it comes in line for a promotion, you'll have the confidence you need to go for that.
Awesome. Brilliant. Well, all of these links will be in the show notes, including links to your Twitter, which is @MalachiTalabi, and of course you're on LinkedIn as well. So Malachi, it's been such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for coming on the Science of Successful Job Hunting today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for listening on the other side. I mean, if you've enjoyed today's episode, this is one of those episodes you absolutely must share. So don't even waste any time. Find 3 of your friends now, tag them on Facebook or on Twitter or on LinkedIn. Share this and say you have got to listen to this episode, because it's all about how to get promoted where you are, which is so much easier than trying to get a new job altogether. So make sure you share this episode, please. And make sure you connect with Malachi Talabi. As I said, all the links are on the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, and you can subscribe on my website, MildredTalabi.com, as well, so you can make sure that you don't miss out on any of our future episodes of The Science of Successful Job Hunting. So thank you so much again for listening. And if you have enjoyed, I'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email, info@MildredTalabi.com, with your comments, your thoughts. Even if you've got questions for Malachi or any of the guests I have on the show, feel free to drop me an email and we can Definitely, I'd be more than happy to follow that up with you. But so thank you again. And until next time, remember that successful job hunting is not by luck, chance or hope. Successful job hunting is a science. Take care. You've been listening to the Science of Successful Job Hunting podcast series with me, Mildred Talabi. Now, if you're a mid to senior level professional looking for a change in your job or career, get in touch with me at www.cvmakeoverexpert.com for help with your CV, LinkedIn profile, and much more. That's www.cvmakeoverexpert.com. Until next time, take care and happy job hunting.